I'm Richard Nelson with the Commonwealth Matters. Thank you for joining us. Last year, as we've talked about on this program before, the Kentucky Department of Education issued an LGBT toolkit for public schools. They also issued guidance as to how to use preferred pronouns of students and to allow students to use the bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice. It created a controversy, one that led to Anderson County High School principal Randy Adams to be suspended and eventually to leave his post. Now another situation regarding the LGBT push has come to our attention from Anderson County Schools. Joining us to share their story and to talk further about this is Brad and Stacy Briscoe. Brad and Stacy, welcome to the Commonwealth Matters.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Appreciate both of you. It's an honor really to have you on the program because I learned that this is the very first interview that you're all doing publicly after this situation arose, isn't it?
Yes.
First day we have opened up to be able to speak. Yes, sir.
So I'll tee this up, and I got a chance to talk with both of you a couple times in the past few weeks, but your daughter was a junior in high school last year, and you found out that she was in a same-sex relationship. When you learned of this, you cut it off, and feel free to correct if I'm saying anything off base, but you cut it off, forbid your daughter to have contact with the other girl. And then you'd learned at some point that the high school guidance counselor approached your daughter, befriended her, started advocating for her, as I understand it, to encourage her to pursue same-sex identity. And you didn't find about this until you saw that your daughter was being alienated from you at the behest of the guidance school counselor, which is alarming. I mean, just the whole situation. Tell us more when you found out that this was happening between the guidance school counselor and your daughter.
We were obviously devastated. This was 6 weeks past the initial event of us finding out, of us dealing with everything in our home, and we did not know our daughter was speaking with her at all. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, our daughter had been gone to a very dark place, and it was very tough for us as a family, obviously. People have been through that a lot. But when we found out was the day after we also found out that CPS had been called, and when officers showed up to our home, et cetera, and it was just devastating. Not only that, but we had even instructed our daughter many times to possibly speak with the counselors because we were just very ignorant of, I guess, their agenda.
Right, right. The reason I teed this up in the beginning with this LGBT toolkit from the Kentucky Department of Education, because this was guidance that this top level policymaking authority in the Commonwealth, that's the Department of Education, was essentially guiding schools to affirm, approve, go along with what a student's gender identity was or what their sexual orientation was. And this was a radical move in the Commonwealth because before that, really the state wasn't involved with pushing kids in one direction or another. Now, there was sex ed, but that was basically to talk about the biology, to talk about as kids mature, here's what happens, here's how babies are born. But for the state to promote orientation and gender identity, that was a new move. And we're seeing it filter down to the public schools on a practical level, where in your case, you have a guidance school counselor who is telling your daughter that she should essentially approve or pursue this relationship. So you got to my next question already ahead of time here. But when they showed up at your door, Stacy, when Child Protective Services showed up, there was a charge that you were emotionally abusing your daughter. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me what happened after that.
Well, the crazy thing about it is we had just taken our daughter to get her wisdom teeth out. So we happened to both be home at this time. Mm-hmm. And we had a 3-hour meeting with this social service lady. And, you know, it was based emotional abuse based on our daughter coming out as gay or lesbian. Mm-hmm. This was a complete shock to us because for 5 to 6 weeks, we had no idea that anything was being said. We thought she was just angry, you know, an angry teenage kid that was not being allowed to see someone she cared about. Yeah. And it was just a big shock. And we were overwhelmed. We were told we had it, which we had already told our daughter we wanted to do therapy. We were forced to do that. It was like at that point, we lost parental rights, parental roles because of what this guidance counselor had done.
Did you ask the Child Protection Services person where they got these charges from?
I don't know if we actually
pleaded. Yes, they weren't allowed.
I don't think she gave us any information. She wasn't allowed to tell us. She wasn't allowed to. She told us that she came and spoke with our daughter that previous Monday at the school. Okay. So that's all she would say. And she explained what the charges were.
So that's curious that you were put on the firing line. Essentially, you were in front of the jury and you weren't allowed. They weren't going to tell you who brought the charges up. So this could happen to anybody.
Oh, yes.
Where if somebody didn't like a neighbor, there were no grounds for calling Child Protective Services, but here they show up at your doorstep and they interview you and grill you, and you have no idea who brought those charges. That would be alarming for most parents. How did you handle that?
I felt like we handled it very well. We were very direct. We told, Brad was very clear in our beliefs and that would never change. And whatever they needed to do based on our beliefs was fine. We felt good at the end of our interview with this lady, and she left and she said she would get back in touch. But at that moment, we're in such a disarray of why was this happening to us? We had no clue why this was happening.
Whatever became of that investigation?
It was all dropped. They did the investigation, CPS did, found nothing was valid. All the things that they had said we had done were obviously kind of made up. They're falsified.
They did not like that we went out and sought our own therapist. Mm-hmm. And they pushed back a little bit on that situation. But after that, the therapist, we had two family sessions, and our daughter had multiple family or individual sessions, and he found no grounds.
So Stacy, I'm sorry, did they want to promote their own therapist?
They pushed for one therapy place, and it was going to be like an art therapist, didn't have the credentials that we were looking for. And we sought out a place in Louisville that we went to, and we're very pleased with the place in Louisville.
When everything went down, just how completely bombshelled we were that this could happen. And that we didn't know the nightmare that was about to begin for us. So we're just discussing the initial boom, but we didn't even know what we were about to find out.
What comes to mind is that any kid who's not unhappy with their parent could befriend a guidance school counselor and bring up charges or maybe blow things out of proportion and find that something like this could happen. And I'm surprised at how easy it is to bring up charges of emotional abuse or something of that nature.
But the problem is, it was a 5-week plan. It was a 5-week agenda that took account for her to get this case against us. And for them to show up unexpectedly, it was just unreal. Unreal.
I had a chance to look at some of the text messages. So there were a series of text message exchanges between the guidance counselor and your daughter. Not just that, phone calls, other communications that were very troubling, where you see this alienation, where the guidance counselor wasn't trying to fix the situation or to alleviate whatever tension was there, but essentially they took the side of your daughter, trying to alienate her from you. And we see this to the degree that they went was to bring in Child Protective Services, because that's the indication that where the complaint came from. Did you have a chance to talk with the superintendent about this after this unfolded and you saw what was going on in the school with the guidance counselor? What were your next steps, I guess?
What happened the day that social services came to our house, the next day I was filling out paperwork for the therapy place that we were going to go to. And at that moment, I had asked my daughter, I said, are you seeing anyone? Because the question asked. And she told me at that moment, yes. And at that same moment, she was texting this guidance counselor. And in that same text, we ended up finding that She called herself the champion of the gays. There was a trashy, Ashley was the trashy lesbian. There was another one that was one of the main board member people that was going to make me lose my job.
She was claiming these as some great, you know, thing that they were. And I can tell you exactly, our daughter said, hey, I'm just going to tell you, my parents finally found out that we're speaking. I don't want you to be blindsided if anything comes. And the exact text reads, I'm not worried at all. I mean, they can take their pick from me, who is the cheerleader of the gays, Ashley, who is the trashy lesbian, or Melissa, who is the assistant superintendent's wife, who will make her lose her job, which we found out was a major plan here for my wife to lose her job.
So this text message was sent, and we found out some other information a few nights later, and I had taken Riley's phone, and she had deleted every text message but this one. This was the only one she had screenshot, and when I brought it to her attention, she was like, I was getting worried. She said there was just something up with this guidance counselor. She was more worried about trashing you guys instead of caring about my feelings. And this is when I went, I called the superintendent, and we set up an early morning meeting with the superintendent to show this text message.
You know, I think of this where young kids are just trying to figure out who they are. They go through changes, hormonal changes. They're growing to become young adults, and they look to adults to give them guidance. And I think of a guidance school counselor, somebody that's trying to steer them, maybe level things out and give them good advice and counsel. I don't think of a guidance school counselor as being the champion of the gays or lesbians. They should be champions of young people, helping them to navigate life when they have difficult times. But that's alarming when you have somebody who's identifying as the champion of gays and lesbians, which kids, it used to be that we told kids to wait until marriage to be sexually involved. But now kids in our schools coming down from the Kentucky Department of Education, they're saying, hey, let's just affirm the kids at whatever grade. We're not even talking high school anymore, middle school or perhaps younger. How does that grab you, if you will, when you have a guidance school counselor at Anderson County High School that's identifying as a champion for the LGBT
kids? I am a school teacher. You know, and I have put my whole life into this program. I love my job. I love every aspect of it. And when I put my trust in these adults, I want their other kids to trust me. I want my kid to be able to trust other adults. And that was broken. And it's just heartbreaking to know that my daughter had a face this day in and day out. I had no clue she was being told these things. I had no clue these things were being said. I want her to be safe. I want people to care for her well-being. And this person was more worried about her agenda, her whatever she was trying to push on her, than the well-being of my child. And that should have been the ultimate focus, should have been the focus of the counselor, should have been the focus of every adult in that building. And they cared more about this agenda than they did her. And that is heartbreaking.
It is very simple. It is the parents' role. It's their right to determine the belief system in the home, the guidance, the counseling within the home. It is not a school system's role. It is not a school system's right. It's not, definitely not a specific guidance counselor's role or right, especially not to strategically plan and undermine a parent's belief system and to try to destroy a family instead of preserve it.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.
If you're just joining us, I'm Richard Nelson here with Brad and Stacy Briscoe, and they're sharing their story of how Anderson County High School counselor was steering a junior, their daughter, into the LGBT camp and alienating the daughter from the parents. I can only imagine, Brad, as a dad of three young girls. Actually, they're out of the house, but three girls. Time goes by quickly. But of somebody giving them counsel or advice that would conflict with my religious values, that would be immoral counsel. Not just immoral counsel to embrace an identity that is not biblical, not how God designed us, but counsel that is, Stacy, as you said, emotionally manipulative, underhanded, with a larger goal. There's another agenda behind this. How did you as a dad, Brad, respond when this really started to gel and it became clear what was going on? How did you respond?
Oh, wow. I'm just going to be completely honest. As a father, as a spiritual leader of our home, as God comes first in our family, I was furious and trying with the righteous anger, but trying to calm and settle and figure everything out. That was the key. What hurt probably more than anything is I know this counselor personally, known him for years, the family, have her personal phone number. She has mine. To see her turn in this dark way against our family, it was shocking. I couldn't even believe it. And it was embarrassed because for 6 weeks prior, we had been telling Briley, hey, go speak with the counselors. We knew both of them. We thought they were great. Known one of them since she was a little girl. And to think that we were pushing her in that direction, and this is what we got out of it. Oh, it's killer.
You know, it was every day, you know, we think of a guidance counselor to preserve the family, to bring them together. And all this person did and the school system did was try to tear us apart. But they didn't realize how strong of a bond our family truly does have. And we weren't going to not fight for our family.
Just as a testimony to that, your daughter's here in the studio. She's not going to join us on the program, but she is here to support you. And I think that that speaks to the point about you all sticking together. So we're in the middle of a governor's race right now. I'm not going to put you on the spot politically and ask you who you're going to vote for you to endorse anybody. But the reason I bring that up is because education is a big issue in the governor's race. Pushing gender ideology in the schools is a big issue. And this is reminiscent of the 2021 Virginia governor's race, where the issue of parental rights in the public schools became a hot topic. And there we saw the Republican candidate for governor, Glenn Youngkin, say that parents should have significant input into what's going on into the schools, the curriculum. Awareness to parents and that kind of thing. What's in the library bookshelves? In response to the Democratic candidate for governor, Terry McAuliffe, responding to Glenn Youngkin, McAuliffe said this, I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. The reason I bring this up is because I just listened to a governor's debate yesterday, and this whole line of thinking came up where one of the candidates, I won't name names at this point, said that we should just let the school boards handle these kind of decisions. And that same candidate saying, this is rare, people are just trying to divide. But you saw what happens when there is a push.
Well, it is not rare. This is our main thing is we have got to bring light on this subject. We have to. We do not want other families going through what we've been through. There needs to be accountability. This is way more over the top than people ever have a clue what's going on in our school systems. And we've sadly got a reality check on all this. And it's very interesting when you talk about the school boards, because you can find video after video of people saying, here, I want to read this book in our school library. As they begin to read it.
Let me interrupt. Are you talking about Kentucky or just in other parts of the country?
I'm talking about Kentucky and other parts of the country.
Because we're told that it's rare in Kentucky. There's exceptions.
Yeah, it is
so
not
aware
rare.
That this is going on.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It has been shocking. I carry a picture around of someone that graduated from Anderson County, you know, furries, just everything that's going on in the community that so many people do not have a clue about. But some of these books have been read in school board meetings, and they've immediately been shut down. So, whoa, you can't read that in here. That's horrible. And like, this is what we're talking about in the library, yet you won't let us read it in public. And that's
Is that at the Anderson County Public
School? I've not seen or heard of that in Anderson County just yet, but I'm watching videos on it all over the place all the time.
Yeah. We are aware that it's going on in Jefferson County Public Schools. The school board last year had this brought to their attention, some very graphic books. I blush when I even talk about it. I have a chance to read portions of it, but the school board defended some of those books. One of the titles is All Boys Aren't Blue. And I don't know how anything like that is, number one, legal, and number two, how anybody would think that that's appropriate for any kids in public schools. And yet the school board defended that. What do you say to this, that people like you and me are just being divisive? We're just trying to divide? Because this is, again, I want to go back to the governor's race. We are told that these issues just try to divide and not unite.
It's a shot at parents, at family, at home, at Christianity, period. And I have said, and I'm going to, make a statement I hope is not too much, but I've said before, it is extremely difficult currently in our society when you come to voting, talking about politics, to be a Christian and vote Democratic because of abortion, because of gay marriage, et cetera, et cetera. Some people have, everyone in their life has to make a choice at some point. Are they going to follow Jesus Christ or are they not? I don't care what part of your life it is. You're going to have to make that choice.
And these choices are hitting us in our schools and hitting us in our families, like you're saying.
And it's hitting our school board, our site-based council, and Anderson County as we are releasing this information to them. Mm-hmm. It's fallen into hands of people I've known my whole life that I consider very godly men, people I've looked up to, that they've got to make a decision in their life right now.
Are you confident, Brad, that they're going to make the right decision, those who are on the school board are going to make the right decision when it comes to age-appropriate curriculum, when it comes to what guidance counselors can say to students, when it comes to the books that are in the library? Are they going to make the right decision?
8 months prior to this situation of mine, I would have said 100%. I would have backed the superintendent 100% that I would say, yes, Richard, this is going to happen now. Mm-hmm. I'm scared to death. I don't know. I can't believe the alma mater that I love so much. I think Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, Anderson County High School is the greatest place in the world. I had a phenomenal high school experience. What it has turned into now, I just don't know. I am praying daily for them.
This sounds like maybe a call to those who are thinking of running for school board, parents or grandparents or concerned citizens who are concerned about what's being taught in the schools. And really the moral tenor is what we're talking about. Do we have a moral compass in our schools? And I would suggest that if that moral compass is not set on a straight course, if it's not embraced, then it's up for grabs, to the point where people are going to be dealing with what you're dealing with, where a guidance counselor is allowed to steer kids in a direction that is immoral, destructive, tears apart families. Are you planning action against the school? Can you speak to what are your next steps regarding Anderson County Schools?
Right now, our next step, we spoke with our superintendent, and we just sent it out, like Brad just said, we sent it out to
an official complaint to the school board and site-based council, hoping that they will make the right decision.
So what does that complaint entail?
Basically everything we've been through. There are so many details that we have not covered here. I mean, we've not even scratched the code ethics.
She violated the code of ethics. And so we're hoping that they will make the best decision.
Okay. And that an appropriate investigation was not performed. There was a lot more emphasis on protecting the counselor than protecting our child, which my wife always says, I could call you either one, is the children come first, right? No child left behind. And our daughter was by far pushed to the wayside. Yeah, we were shocked that this counselor, after everything that we laid out, all the facts to the superintendent, was not put on a leave of absence, paid leave, whatever.
Yeah, I wonder, and I can't again imagine what you've gone through and the grief that you felt going through this, just to experience poor counsel given to your daughter, where your family was literally being split apart, and the possibility of your daughter being taken away from you, that was on the table. What would it mean if a counselor like this, if it was shown that there are consequences for this? And I don't wish ill on anyone, but look, there's appropriate activity when you are in a role of leadership and influence, especially of kids. there should be consequences when there is behavior like we saw with this guidance school counselor. Would that send the right message if that counselor was removed or terminated? Or and do you think that other counselors across guidance school counselors might get the message?
And I'll tell you, not every counselor in Anderson County has that same belief system.
We have some awesome counselors. Yeah.
I think it would send a message. I think it would send a message to parents that their kids are safe, that they're going to be protected, and that's the ultimate goal. It's just devastating when you have your own child go through something like this. But there are good people that out there.
And I can't comprehend with the facts laid in front how that decision wouldn't be made. I can't comprehend that.
Well, you know that if you as a physical therapist did certain things, there's a code of ethics that you have to follow. There's certain protocol that you have to follow. And if you started bending the rules or doing something that violated the code of ethics, there are consequences, aren't there?
Yes, sir.
So what would you advise, Brad and Stacy, by the way, we've got maybe a minute and a half here. One of the last questions I want to ask is, what do you advise parents who have kids in public schools right now when it comes to awareness of what's being taught in the classroom, or awareness of the kind of counsel that guidance counselors might be offering kids? Do you have any advice for other parents?
Always be your child's advocate, 1,000,000%. You have to know what's going on. COVID opened a ton of our eyes in finding out what was actually being taught. Communication with your child. Number one thing I always say, God first. Put God first.
You know, talk to your child. Yeah. Let them know. And you know, the biggest thing I think with our daughter is just know her. Know your child.
Yeah.
And that we do.
And we knew better for her than a school counselor that thought they knew better for her.
Do you have any final words?
Just thank you. Thank you for being a shield for people like us and giving us opportunities and trying to make a change because it needs to be made.
Yeah. You're welcome. Brad and Stacy Briscoe, thank you so much for joining me on the Commonwealth Matters.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.